Okay, everybody can hear. We're all ready to go. Yeah. Josh is nodding, right? Okay, good. Josh Appel, that is. He gives me the word. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing this very complicated topic on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. We read the first part, and hopefully we'll get to the second part. If not, we'll get to that on Tuesday. Tuesday might be our last Sheer, just for logistical reasons, I'm not sure, but we'll see. We'll see what we can do. So basically what we've seen so far, maybe Josh will just sum up for us. Josh? So we have this Machlokas Rav Huda and Rav Chisda, right? Okay, great. Good work. You want to say anything more about it? So what we have this on Machlokas, right, about Sakin Shenimsa Paguma. So far we're dealing with the extreme cases, or the extreme views. Again, hopefully, if not today, then Tuesday, we'll get to the rest of the sugya, whether we should moderate it, and as we'll see in a moment, how we moderate it, or what happens when we moderate it, you know, whether that affects qualitatively the way that we look at the issues, or just, you know, kind of as an adjustment. So I'll explain what I mean about that in a minute. But on the extremes, what do we have so far? What's the case and what's the argument? So that's an extreme because it's even if he was shovar atzamos kol hayom, it doesn't make a difference. That would be a tliya lahakel. So even with the tliya lahakel, Rav Huna still is machmir. So that's an extreme. And it's based on Shema. You just said it very well. It's based, it seems like it's based on Shema ba'or nifgam. But the Gemara also adds another factor, as we read last time, and that is Rav Huna lishmaitze. And that is that? Yeah, exactly. So, and the question that we were discussing, which we'll get back to in a minute, is what is the relationship between those two factors, right? The initial cheskas iser, which needs to be overcome, and the conditions that allow it to be overcome, that's one factor. And the real chashash, or is it only just a tliya, right? Or maybe even something a little bit different than both of those in terms of shema, ba'or, nifkama. The more you think that shema, ba'or, nifkama is a real chashash, right? The more, you know, you could argue that it stands on its own. And that even without, or without as robust, let's say, a contribution from Behema Becheskas Yisra Omedes, right, this chashash, you know, would be important. Certainly in the combination of the two, if that's really what's going on here, namely the Cheskas Yisra of the Behema plus the chashash, you know, based on the Reyesa, you know, there's a tliya lahakel, but there's also a tliya lahachmir. So that's kind of really what we're focused on, right? These two factors, how do they interact with Rav Huna? We want to see what the Rishonim say about that. But, equally, we want to just try to figure out conceptually what's going on here. And those, the interplay between those two factors, how much heavy lifting, you know, by each of them, becomes an important issue. So that's Rav Huna, and Rav Huna is an extreme. It's an extreme lechumra, even with a very strong tliya. Okay. And how about Rav Chisda? Yeah. So here too, we have a question, and that is how, you know, what is the relationship between, you know, another way to say it is, what does Rav Chisda really, does Rav Chisda argue with Rav Huna at all about either Behema Becheskas Yisur Amedes, in general. I mean, obviously he agrees that, you know, there's evidence that Behema Becheskas Yisur, I mean, it is Behema Becheskas Yisur Amedes in terms of Eivra Menachai or Eina Zvucha. But in terms of how much it takes, let's say, how formidable that is to overcome, is that part of the argument or not at all? When the Gemara says, you know, as Kish might say, it sounds a little bit, you know, that he's Lishitaso, in which case, you know, you're wondering at least whether Rav Chisda, you know, has a less compelling or formidable version of that. Or is all, again, all the heavy lifting for Rav Chisda being done by what sounds like a Vadai, right, which is Shibra Atzomos Kol Hayom. Now, if we end up saying that Rav Chisda doesn't require that, and that even what, Josh? Yeah, exactly. So once we say that, so Rav Chisda, that's the extreme in Rav Chisda. You don't even have this compelling tliya. So is it because he holds, again, the same kind of question? If he has the compelling tliya, let's say it this way, the question is how compelling is it and how compelling does it need to be? The Gemara, by calling it a vadai, you know, seems to be giving it great weight, right? And we'll see in the Rishonim again, are they happy with the, you know, idea that this is a Vadai, etc. Certainly if we're worried only, if it's sufficient to have even a lesser Tliya, like, you know, the fact that it was Nifgam in the Farekas of the bone of the Etzem of that, which means that it was La'achar Hashchita, so then it sounds like, you know, that factor, you know, is less important, the Shviras Atzamos. So is it because Shema Bo'or Nifkama is nothing? Or again, is this all about, you know, what it takes to, you know, to be Matir Shchita, you know, given Behema Bechayaha Becheskas Iser, and a situation where there's some Reisa right in the Shchita. Okay, so basically we have, you know, a question within, we have some questions within Rav Huna, we have some questions within Rav Chisda, especially the way the Gemara understands them, that they both represent an extreme. With regard to Rav Chisda, in addition to and connected with the fact that Shviras Atzamos, even Kol Hayom, may not be required, B, isn't really necessarily 100% Vadai, right? There's another question, and that is by invoking Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, right? In a way that doesn't completely, you know, conform, cohere with the use of that phrase in other places in Shas, either on a quantitative level, like Tosis discusses, and we'll summarize those, or like the Balamor says, which is even more compelling, which is a typically Ein Sofik Motzi Midei Vadai is a din of muchzakus. It means you have an established status, and the burden of proof is on you if you want to change, you know, that that status, that if you want to change the status quo. Well, that's not what happens here, right? The Shviras Etzem is after the fact. It's a tliya, maybe it's a compelling tliya. You know, maybe in terms of, if you want to break it down in terms of probabilities, maybe it's just as good or practically just as good. But it's really more of a kind of a rove or a after the fact mukzakos. Maybe that's a stira minei ube. I don't know. Maybe you can't have an after-the-fact mitzvah. That's kind of part of the problem. So for the Balamor, even more than, you know, for the Balaitosis and others, the discrepancy between this and the other is clear. So it could be that the argument revolves around Shema Ba'or Nifkema, both in terms of how likely that is to happen, what threshold of probability or likelihood is needed, or the third point, which I'm going to get back to, is that maybe it affects legally just how we look at this whole problem. I ended off with in the last year, maybe the difference between, which I'm going to elaborate now, the difference between Suffolk mice and a mice in a Suffolk. Maybe that's the idea behind Ravuna, in which case, even with a very low, you know, possibility, that's still good enough. We'll see in a minute. So those are the Rav Huna questions. And on the Rav Chisda side, meaning why doesn't Rav Chisda like Rav Huna? There are plenty of good reasons, is all I'm trying to say. If it really depends on Shema or Nifkama, there are plenty of good reasons why Rav Huna isn't so pasha. We paskin like Rav Huna, right? Maybe we don't paskin like him if she brought someone's kalayom, but in the more extreme argument between him and Rav Chisda, we mostly paskin like Rav Huna. But there are clear vulnerabilities there which need to be addressed. And on the Rav Chisda side, there are vulnerabilities in that this is not a typical Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vaday, not technically, you know, in terms of being convincing. That's the Tosis points, the Kula, the Chumra, Safek Haragil, etc. Even more so, it doesn't have the pure Mukzakos aspect, or at least it doesn't seem to, the Balamar. And therefore, once you eliminate that, if really that's part of the Cheshbon of Rav Chisda, if that's an important part of the Cheshbon of Rav Chisda, then you can understand why we don't necessarily accept that. Is there some way to explain that the argument between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, on the extremes, right, instead of, you know, being about how formidable Behema B'chayaha is, how reasonable pragmatically or Shenifkama is, how problematic Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vaday's application is here, or even the notion that this is Vaday, even, you know, Berov, you know, Sheshiba Kol Atzamos Kalayom, never mind, Shema Be, you know, Shema Be Etzem Adam Farekes, you know, Nifkama. Is there a way of explaining that there's a broader argument here between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, you know, that would explain, I guess, all these things? Is there some reason why Rav Chisda is more inclined to extend Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vaday despite its common, you know, more restricted application? Bein Labali Tosis, Bein Labala Mar. And is there a reason why Rav Huna is more likely, right, to embrace Shema Be'or Nifkama, right, notwithstanding, and Behema B'chayeha, you know, notwithstanding, you know, what seems to be a kind of very ambitious or aspirational, you know, perspective. Okay? So instead of just, basically what I'm saying now is, instead of like, you know, zeroing in only, right, on the narrower factors, you know, and, you know, both quantitatively and qualitatively, I'm just wondering if there isn't a bigger argument here on the qualitative side that would explain what makes the problematic in Rav Huna attractive to him and what makes the problematic in Rav Chisda attractive to him in a more unified way. Okay? And that, I'm going to suggest, it has to do with this broader question of what I called before, you know, Maisa B'Safek or Safek Mice, perhaps. Okay, so to do that, let us, I guess, take a step back and right, and look at the broader question. Okay, so Josh, you're still on deck here. You're still on deck, I should say. You're still, you know, operating here. So what do I mean? Let's take a general question about Chazaka. So the main sugya of Chazaka is the next sugya, which I'm not sure we're going to get to. If not, hold me to it. I'm happy to do it. I think it's a great topic. But that's the topic on Yudamid Beis to all the way to Yud Beis Amud Aleph, where this is the Gemara that wonders like the Makar of Chazaka. Part of that sugya, by the way, is the relationship between Chazaka and Rove and the question of Ruba Disa come on, Ruba Leisa come on. It did come up this year a couple of times. I think we read the Rashi about the 2 days about the relationship between Ruba Disa and Ruba Leisa come on, etc. It'll come up. It always comes up again and again. So there is a notion of Chazaka of Mechzakos. The question is what happens in a circumstance where you have more than one factor in Chazaka, right? So let's assume the Maskana of the Gemara on Yudam and Beis Yud Beis Amin Aleph, and that is that there is a concept of Chazaka that we rely on, right? Zinan Basar Chazaka. We, you know, the status quo ante is very, very important. Okay. The question is, what happens when there are complications? Okay. So the answer is that it depends. There are different types of complications, right? So the very notion of Rav Huna, you know, Kishmaite, which for sure Rav Chizkiya also agrees with, is based on Chazaka, right? The idea of Behema Bechaya Becheskas Iser Omedes Ad Sheyivad Alecha, you know, that it changed. That's based on Muchzakos. That's a Muchzakos L'chumra. We have Muchzakos L'kula, we have Muchzakos L'chumra. Okay. The question is, how can it ever change? Right? So the answer is because some other action comes along and changes it. So you have the Maisa Shkita, right? If a person is a Tamei, right? So they're Becheskas Tuma, that's Cheskas Agavra, Cheskas Aguf, right? But if they're a Tovol B'Mikva, if they take the proper steps, they undergo the proper process, so that's a Tikkun, that changes the reality, okay? So that's Pashut, because there's no Safek in those cases, in terms of, I mean, there's a Safek, the Safek is a Chumra, but then you do a Vadai Maisa, which changes that reality. The question is, when you do a Maisa Tikkun, which had you done it, you know, Bevadai, you know, would be Metakein, right? What happens if that action itself is not pure and pristine? What if there are some questions that arise regarding that action itself? Okay? So you did a Maisa Shechita, and there's some Safek attached to it. You did a Maisa Tvila, and there's some Safek, you know, that attaches to it. What kind of Safek? We'll call it a Reisa. So that's exactly what our sugya is talking about, right? You did a Maisa Shechita, presumably with a Sakin Baduk, right? Unless all Sakinim are the Cheskas Padukim to begin with. We'll leave that for now. Had there been no question, right? Let's say you did a Shechita B'Sakin and then is Nevad HaSakin, we'll go with, you know, the consensus view, right? So then we would say that there was a tikkun. Tikkun vada is motzi bidei chazaka. But the problem is that upon bedika, you know, we found, now bedika when? Bedika after the shkita? Or the bedika after 10 shkitas? Or the bedika after shkita and some other actions later? Right? These are all different scenarios. So now we have a Cheskas Haguf of the Behema, which is a Chumra. We have a Maisa Tikkun, right, where there is a Reisa. And the question is to assess it. Now, if we only had, right, a Maisa, let's say you had a Sakin, and, you know, you wanted to assess whether or not the likelihood, you know, was, let's say it's something neutral. Okay, we'll take this scenario. Not something which is Becheskas Iser. Say something that was neutral completely. Let's say there is such a thing, right? Or something that is totally balanced. And then you did a Maisa, Tikkun, with a Reyesa. In other words, that's called, let's say, a clash between two types of, well, you could call it a clash between two types of chazakas, or you can call it a chazaka and a reyesa. That's part of, maybe part of the question. In other words, you did a maisa, and now there is a reyesa. So what do we normally call that? What would you call that, Eitan? What terminology would you use? You could say there's a chazaka and a reyesa, or you might say, if you want to use like the word chazaka twice,
chazaka dahashta, chazaka kamaisa.
Excellent. Chazaka de bikara.
Chazaka de bikara.
Yeah. Okay. The tough one to get here was the chazaka dahashta, which you got right away. So that's good. Yeah. So in other words, when you do a maisa, right, and there's a reyesa, in other words, there's mixed evidence. So that's called a chazaka. The first chazaka is called chazaka de mi'ikara. Let's say you did a bedika on the sakin, or you did a bedika on the mikvah, right, and it was male. You did a bedika on the sakin, and it was, proper, right? And then later on, at some point, right, you found out that there's a pagam. Later on, you found out that the mikvah is chaser. So all things being equal, Eitan, what would you say in that case? If there was no factor of the thing that is affected by it, or the issue, the bigger issue that you're confronting, is an issue which is neutral. What would you say?
So typically in those cases, you go by the chazaka de meikara.
Excellent. Exactly. So the chazaka de meikara beats out the chazaka de hashta. Another way to call that, and again, the question is whether the terminology is important, this is what I just said a second ago, is you could say there's a chazaka and there's a reyasa. Right? Reya chazake. Because hare chase lefanecha, hare asakin pagum lefanecha. But if it was only those two factors, right, the chazaka still overrides the reyasa, or the chazaka de mikara overrides the chazaka de hashta. The question is, what happens when you go back to the original Cheskas HaGuf? You're dealing with a Gavra Tamei, or a Behema, which is Bechayaha Asura. So that, it sounds like that's what's going on in our Gemara, right? You have a Chazaka de Mi'ikara, or Chazaka de Guf of the Behema. Then you have a chazaka de mikara of the sakin, and then you have a chazaka de hashta of the sakin, or a reyasa of that sek of the davar hamitake. Correct? Okay. So that's really kind of where we are. So if it had just been about the sakin, or just about the mikvah, it seems clear in the halacha that we would go basar chazaka de mikara. But once, right, there's a previous factor, right. Even though that previous factor, let's make it clear, plays no role, right, as long as there's no suffix about the metake. But if the sakin is baduk and we don't have any, and then it's nevad, and we don't have any reyesa, if the mikvah is nimdad v'nimtza malay, right, and then, right, and then it never is chaser, that we know of, or you just walk away, but you can't measure it because you can't get back to it, right? So the chazaka de mi, the second chazaka de mi kara, is koveya. It's mitake. Even though, right, there was some time that you're relying on the chazaka. Why not just say that there's a clash between chazaka de mi karas? Right, saying in theory you could say that. I mean, you have a gavra who's tame. Right, you measured the mikvah, but you didn't measure the mikvah a second before, in which case it's impossible that it became chaser in the interim. You last time that the mikvah was checked a year ago, could be a year ago, it could be an hour ago, it doesn't really matter. Let's say there's enough time, though, that it could, in theory, change. Right, obviously, the longer the time period, the longer that's possible, that it could become chaser, right? Or maybe even some event took place, but you don't know that it made it chaser, and there's no way to find out that it's chaser, let's say, for some reason, tf shalavarer, right? So even though it's not a vadai tikkun, so you have a suffek, cheskas aguf, whether it's the behema, again, you did a maisa tikkun in the sakin, but there's always the possibility, let's say in our way, shema ba'or nifkema, right? Rav Huna doesn't seem to be, you know, concerned about shema ba'or nifkema, you know, in terms of being motzi, right? Midei, behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser. I guess if we were, there would be no shechita. Okay? But the fact that there would be no shechita is not the answer. Right? It's true. But it's not the answer. So apparently, even when there, the point is that the second chazaka, as long as it's not, you know, as long as there's no reyasa, right, is always koveya. A little bit the question is why? Okay, and some Rishonim asks this question. Let me ask another question. Again, that is our case. That's not our case. Our case is where you have a chazaka demikara l'chumra, and now you have a chazaka with a reyasa. Okay? But if the chazaka was not bereyasa, everybody would agree that everything would be fine. Why? Let me ask a different question, the question that the Rishonim ask. And that is, there are other chazakas to mix into all of this as well. Namely, what other chazaka would you mix in? Eli. Maybe, in some cases. Not in all cases. Let's say in the mikvah case.
Like a cheskat kashrut?
Cheskas kashrus of who or what?
Or never mind. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking in terms of like cheskat iser. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay, so let's say in the mikvah case, maybe I didn't give you enough like really information. In the mikvah case, right? What does it affect?
The person who did the tefillah.
The person who did the tefillah regarding
his status.
His status vis-a-vis?
Or like the kachim and things that he touches?
Oh, okay. So again, if it's a isha nida, it's the gabe isa labaila. Correct? Okay. So she's, let's say she's a nida. She's toveles. But in a mikvah, she, you know, hoisa malaya v'nimtzes kaseira lacharzman. You don't know them between. That's one kind of case. But the other case could be what you just said, which is that the individual in question, it could be an ish or an isha, is osek or osekes, but tahara. Right? So the question is, in that case, right, isn't there another question to ask? And that is the status quo of the tahara? Because isn't that really what we're interested in that case?
Yeah.
Right? So that is something that troubled the Rishonim. I'll get to what they say about it in just a minute. What I'm really trying to highlight at the moment is that this question of multiple, how relevant are the different chazakos, and this idea of multiple chazakos being consequential to the status of something is a complicated question. Okay? And the question is to understand the rules that determine, you know, what works and what doesn't work. Okay, so why not, you know, consider cheskas ataharos? That's a question. Even within, right, the tartilareya, so we say, oh, if you have a chazaka de mikara, like, you know, an adam tame, or a behema, which is, you know, a surah. So we're saying, oh, so then the tikkun will work, even though it's based on a chazaka. We're not sure why yet. That's the second. That was the first question, right? But if there's a chazaka and a reyasa, then it will work. Again, if there's only a chazaka and a reyasa, it works. I mean, the chazaka de mikar beats the chazaka de hashta. So we're not sure why it is that when you have the combination, like, is it apples and oranges or not? In other words, when you put, I hope I'm being clear. When you put these factors together, right, it raises questions. If chazaka de mikara of the gavra in the case of tahara and the behema was always relevant, then why does the chazaka of the sakin and the mikvah help you? If it's not relevant, right, then how does it combine with the inferior reyasa or chazaka dehashta to overcome, right, the chazaka demikara of the davar hamitake? In other words, is the lesson to be learned that it's all relevant, but that one beats out the other, but in the combination, it means there's a quantitative way to understand all this. Once there's, if it's only a quantitative way, then particularly the question of the tahara, of the chazaka, of the taharos itself, looms even larger. Unless you want to say, well, there's some relevant, you know, chazakos, and some that are still. Try to figure out the interrelationship between the cheskas haguf, we'll call it, the tame, the behema, the chazaka de mi'ikara of the davar hamishane or hamitakein, and its chazaka de hashta or its reyasa, maybe the language matters, right? And the chazaka of what it's applied to, for example, taharos. And we seem to have rules that mostly, you know, govern all of this, but we would like to understand them better and understand if they're all just quantitative rules, right, or there's something more, you know, going on here. Okay, so even within what we call tartil reyasa, there are issues and problems. Right, tartil reyasa is the case, seemingly, we'll say three cases at the moment. Right? The mikvah shenimda v'nimsa chaser. We're going to have somebody read the Gemara Nida in just a second. Right? Our case seems to be a case of tar til reyasa, because you have a behema b'chaya b'cheskas iser, then you have a maisa b'sakin, which was muksak, but which developed a reyasa. And a third case, for example, in the Gemara, and that's the case with the chatzitza. So again, you had a gavra tameh, right? You have a, here the problem isn't the mikvah, the problem is whether or not the maisa tvila, right? You have a gavra tameh, you have a maisa tvila, the mikvah malaya, right? But then you have a reyasa because of chatzitza. These cases all seem to be cases, you know, tartil reyasa. Now, tartil reyasa is an expression that comes from the Gemara. Okay, Yitzhak, you want to read for us just the Gemara Nida for a minute?
2 seconds.
Yitzhak was there? Yitzhak Weiss?
Starting from the Mishnah on the top of Ezma Beis.
You could just read the Gemara part, I guess. Oh, yeah, just read the Mishnah for a second. Just very quick. Oh, you want to read from Beis Amud Beis?
Yeah, the Tznan from two lines from the top.
Well, just read for a second the Gemara on Beis Amud Aleph. What do you have in the Mishnah?
The Mishnah is talking about a woman checking Meisla Eis and whether she's Becheskas Tuma V'Tahara and things that she touches in between.
Correct. So we say, so it's Machlokas Shammai and Hillel, right? Shammai Amar Kol Nashim Dayan Shaitan. What does that mean, Dayan Shaitan?
that they don't have to assume that anything is tame unless that is their shas, the beses.
Yeah. And the case is a case where what?
Where she has a set veses and then she touched something in between.
She's becheskes tahar.
Right. And then.
And then there's a reyes so that she is tame. So her chazaka de mikara is that she's betahara.
And now that we see that she's actually tame.
And now we see, so it's a chazaka de mikara against the chazaka de hashta.
Right.
Right. And Shammai say, dayan shaita. And Hillel says, mipkida lepkida, afiliyomim harbe. And the Chacham lo kadavar zeh, elamei slays. But clearly, even Hillel thinks this is only a suffix, right? Okay, so go ahead. The Gemara says, My tamad is Shammai,
so kasavar hemen isha achas kasa, v'isha becheskes tahara omedes. And therefore, she's going to be, we don't assume that things are going to be tame in between.
Hillel, even though there's now a reyesa.
Right.
This is a clear statement that chazaka de mikara with a reyes or chazaka de mikara against chazaka de hashta wins out, right?
Right. V'hillel ki amrinan hem in davar al cheskaso hecha de lesli reyesa migufe. Avolitza kemen de migufe kochazia. Kemen de migufe kochazia lo amrinan ukma al cheskaso. And therefore we do have to be
like fundamental makokas Hillel and Shammai on this very important question about a chazaka with a reyesa. When you've eliminated the original status, because we know what her original status was.
Right, because she was chasas tahara, but now we know that's not true.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's a major debate between Hillel and Shammai. Then the Gemara says, go ahead.
So, my shnomi mikva, itnan mikva shenem da vinim sachaser, kol tahara shenasu al gaba of mafeya, bein rishas ayachid, rishas ram, bein rishas ayachid, Timaeus.
Right. So that means that when there's Tartal Reyesa.
So we assume that everything is Tama.
Already against the head of the discussion. Here we have a case where you have a chazaka with a Reyesa. I mean, a chazaka of the mikvah and a Reyesa. Right.
And we say that everything is Tame.
And we're Matame. We're Machmir.
So right? Shammai Kasha Lemafreya Lehil Kasha Vadai. So, yeah, according to Shammai, we shouldn't be mitame anything l'mafreya because he holds that we would keep it becheskes tahara. And according to Hillel, it should be at least a suffix. It shouldn't be a vadai. It shouldn't be a vadai tuma.
Yeah. So it sounds like this is a way to neutralize Hillel. Hillel's din is only a suffix, and then Gemara discusses, you know, what kind of suffix. So, but the assumption generally is that a chazaka de mikara beats out a chazaka de hashta. Okay? Right. Yeah.
So that's so awesome, yishim de'ika l'meimar hemen tamei al cheskasa. Ve'ima lo tava.
There's another chazaka de mikara.
Of the devarim tameim.
Well, what is it?
The one that was supposedly was tovel in this mikvah has a cheskas tuma.
Correct. Not the Taurus, but the Gavra.
Right.
That's very right. Okay.
So Adar Abahem in Mikfal Cheskaso, Veim Alo Chaser.
Meaning?
But we have a competing Chazaka of the Mikvah, which is that it was full, because beforehand we assumed that it was full, and only after we measured it, after the person was already Tovel, was it found to be Chaser.
And you could argue that this Gemara is discussing exactly what we said before, which was a chazaka about the gavra is not what's relevant here, right? The important thing is to assess the davar hamitak, the potential davar hamitakein, you know, from its own perspective. So there is another chazaka to be kara, but that's not the koveya one, and therefore it should be irrelevant. Right?
Right.
It says the Gemara.
Harechasa lefanecha, but there's a reyesa.
So it sounds a little bit like, this is what I wanted to just make the point. Sometimes you have Gemaras, you know, that sound like, you know, like it's all very obvious, like, you know, like are they talking to each other or at each other, you know, kind of Gemaras. Like we know that there's a reyesa here. So why are they going through this exercise? So when I think that ever that happens, you know, yesh dvarim bego. This is what the Gemara is trying to say. The Gemara is saying, oh, you know, are these factors, you know, just, you know, local factors, or do they revise the way that we look at this whole, you know, jumble of issues? In which case, when the Gemara says, arechasa lefanecha, you know, the Gemara isn't just saying there's a reyesa. It's saying, you know, this reyesa isn't just a factor. It's a reason why maybe we push back to the original chazaka de mikara of cheskas haguf, or we look at, you know, this chazaka de mikara and this reyesa as qualitatively changing the way that we look at the resolution of tzveikos. I'll explain what I mean by that too. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara says, "Achanami aredam lefanecha." Like the Gemara knew this. There's a reyesa there. There's a reyesa here. But if what the Gemara is really trying to say is the reyesa isn't just a force in its own right, and it's not just a force that combines, oh, it's two against one, right? But that this reyesa, you know, changes the way that we look at the, all these relationships, right? That's what the Gemara is struggling to say, and that's what the Gemara is saying, well, what do you mean by that? You understand?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So,
it's only now that we.
She's being Roa Adam. But yeah. The same thing here. So, Hachanami Hashtu with the Chaser. But now we're also mentioning the Mikvah. It's also only Chaser now.
This is what I mean about speaking, you know, at rather than to. Like, everybody knows all these things. So, what are they really, really, really struggling to say? Okay, go ahead.
So hachi hashta hasam ikalameimar chaser viyasa. So by a mikvah, it's a process that it's ma'ad ma'ad. It loses water.
Right. Again, we don't have so much time for this topic, but of course, this is one of the crucial questions: is to ask what difference does it make really, whether it's a process or not. What is it? What constitutes a process? Why do we care whether there's an abrupt change like in dam? Right, or a gradual change. Two things. You know, what determines whether something is a process? Right? And why do we care about it? Okay, let me explain both. So for example, when it comes to this is the related to the Chacham Tzvi, I'm not sure if we're gonna get to that today either, but definitely want to get to it, you know, Tuesday. We sum up. What would you say, Yitzhak? What's the issue here? Why is it not so obvious? I mean, put it this way. The change between Ri'as Dam and not does seem to be physically more abrupt. Agreed?
Right.
At the same time, as I say, I think there are two questions. Number one, if you assume that one is a problem, definitely losing water, let's say you had a mikvah of 50 saw, right? So for sure, it doesn't go from 50 to less than 40, you know, abruptly.
But the instant that it's 40 to when it becomes 39 and a drop less than that, so that's also an instantaneous change.
Exactly. So I think there are two issues. I say one is, even if you assume it is a process, which we can understand on a purely practical level, namely the dam goes from there and not there to in a second, and the loss of water volume is a process, right? But who cares in the end of the day, right? The real question is, what was the status of the mikvah at the critical moment where this tevilah took place? That's what we really care about. That's A. And B, which might be another way of saying A, I'm not sure, it could be something different. And that is what you just said, which is maybe it's not even a process, or maybe this is a reason why not to care about the process. Because the din of mikvah is 40 saw, let's say. Right? So when you dip below that, you know, no pun intended. When you dip below the 40 saw, that changes the... There's no longer a shem mikvah, or maybe there's no longer a mikvah, which is makshira. We'll get to that as well, right? But when you go from 50 to 49, to 48, to 47, to 46, to 4, etc., is that a chalos halachically? Do we care about that? Is that even called a process? Or if it is a process, there's even less reason to care about it? Is everybody with me? I'm asking two different questions. One is, all we should care about is what the status of the mikveh was, whether it was kosher or not kosher, at the moment in question, one would think. And therefore, even if there is a difference between a process and an abrupt change, you know, ma'ichbat lanu, why do we care? And secondly, even if we do care, al pidin, is it a process to go from 50 to 49 to 48 to 47? Or it's not a process because all we care about, as long as it's plus, it went from 40 to less than 40, you know, at some point in a moment in time, right? And that's all we should care about. So why is this a process? That might be a chiddush in mikvos, like zer chalos, you know, mikvah that is, you know, plus plus, or is there such a thing? Or maybe because, and that's a way of combining both questions together, maybe this all has to do with the way these chazakos work. Okay, so we'll get to that. What about a sakin?
The only line that we saw that would seem to indicate that it's a process, that Taz discusses it being a process of, that it's pocheses or holeches, but it would seem to be one maisa of pegima.
It's an interesting question. It's not like water, and it's not exactly like damnida either. Right?
Right.
Again, the same question of, like, you know, as long as it's kosher, what do you care? Probably the more you bang it and so on and so forth, you know, it gets duller and duller and duller, you know, in that sense, it's like buying. But again, this question of the thresholds, is there any chalos beyond it? So Tosis discusses it, right, in, you know, both here in Nida and in our Tosis, for the question that we'll discuss in just a minute. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara first, just for a second. Go ahead.
So my question, Dilma, hagas chazise.
Yeah.
Meaning that the
it's hard to know what the Gemara means. It could be one of the things that we just said, or the Gemara is saying it doesn't. You know, the Riyas Dam is also a process of some sort.
Okay. So Hasam Ikatarti Lareasa. Hacha Ikachada Lareasa.
That's what the Gemara comes up with, its famous formulation of Tarti Lareasa and Chada Lareasa. Okay. So the bigger point I just want to make here, before we move on to the next issue, is that, again, there are two ways to look at the whole Shakla Vitaria and two ways to look at the Maskan. Right? One way is that, you know, we're just trying to quantify the factors. Right? So all these are factors to weaken or to strengthen, you know, the chazakos involved. Chazaka de Mikara, chazaka de Hashta, you know, one that's impending, one, a weaker one, a stronger one. Then you have to assume, you know, that these are factors like that. And then the way to read the Maskan of the Gemara also is, well, it's two against one, as opposed to one against, if it's one against one, then Chazaka de Mikar beats out Chazaka de Hashta. And if Chazaka, you know, de Mikara of Kaskas Aguf comes into play, so then it's, you know, one and a half, you know, against one, and, or maybe even, you know, one and a half against, you know, a one plus, maybe the latest, you know, Chazaka de Mikara is the most powerful one, and maybe the previous one is less powerful, all things being equal. And then when you combine it with the Reyesa or the Chazaka de Hashta, so, you know, either way, it beats it out. That's one way to look at the Gemara in broad terms. And what I, you know, prefer to think both based on the language in the Shakavatarya, some of the factors in the Shakavatarya, and even the Maskana is what the Gemara is really trying to say, is it isn't just about, you know, the factors themselves, that the interaction between the factors depends on some legal or conceptual questions. And I think there are two, maybe overlapping, maybe not, that we should be thinking about, which I'll get to in just a second. Before we do, just to throw in another question into the mix, and that is the Gabi the Maskana. Because here the Gemara seems to say that there's a difference between Chana L'Reusa and Tarti L'Reusa. And that, of course, poses Yitzchak a problem for
the fact that it, for our Gemara?
Our Gemara, exactly. The question which Balei Tosis discuss here and there, and the Rajba discuss, all the Rishonim discuss this problem. What's the problem?
That here it seems to be a Tarti L'Reusa, and yet we Rav Chisda's paskening L'Kula.
So again, this isn't so much a problem for Rav Huna as it is for Rav Chisda. What's the Tarti L'Reusa here?
The Cheskes of the Behema and the Suffolk of the Sakin.
And the Reus of the Sakin. Why is that any different than...
Than the Mikvah Shenimdad. Yeah. The Cheskes Tara versus the...
Okay, correct. So what is supposed to say here in Chulin? You have it?
Yeah. So the first answer he gives is the chaser v'yasai difference, that it's the process of the mikvah versus the seemingly one moment of the sakin becoming nifsal.
Okay, 1 second. Where's that?
Yes,
there's a question, right? Who has a question? 1 second. What's the first answer, actually? Yishlom d'chaser mishum.
Tosis in...
Which Tosis are you reading? Tosis in Chulin or Tosis in Nida?
Yeah, I was reading Tosis in Chulin.
Okay, yeah, okay. So let's turn to Tosis in Chulin for a minute. Then we'll look at Tosis in Nida also just very quickly. So just read it very quickly, if you don't mind. Tema.
So Tema, Delek l'shnei hachi ahi demikva shenun devanim tzachasir debereish nida. Dekamar hasam kol hatar shenasu agabu mafreya kulm temeos mishum dehachasir lefanecha behemi tami achas kaso. The law amina mikvah esrai adam lo esrai. V'hacha nima hemid b'hima achas kasa v'ima lo nishchata darisagim pagam lefanecha. You have the same chazaka dahashta versus the rei. The chazak meikar versus the rei.
Adding into the mix something else which we should be thinking about. And that is our Gemara, when it talks about the case of, I missed out on that. When it talks about the case of chatzitza.
The chiluk between the reyasa ba'adam versus the reyasa b'mikvah, the reyasa b'sakin.
Right. Which also is a question, like, who cares?
Right.
But there are two questions. Right. Number one, according to Rav Chisda, what about mikvah shenimdad? And partly, I guess, the part of that question is, like, who cares? Why do you care in the end of the day whether the reyasa is in the sakin or in the behema? Again, part of the question, you don't care in the case of mikvah shenimdad chaser that the reis is in the mikvah and not in the gavra, right? And therefore, why don't you say tarta l'reisa, you know, in both cases? But part of that is the question of, like, in general, why should you care? Right. That's also very formalistic, because in the end of the day, again, if the sakin is kosher, right, it's definitely motzi midei cheskas iser of the behema, right? So who cares where the reyasa is? You know, we can say the mechayiv, the latest asafek is about the sakin. The latest asafek isn't, or is it? Right? That's the question. So A, why do we care? Just when you read the Gemara, why do you care? Why is that a factor? Sounds very formalistic. It is very formalistic on the surface. And B, you see in the case of mikvah, it doesn't really matter. The Tarta L'Reis says all that matters. Kibye Shlomar, go ahead.
So Vishlomar Dishani Hasam, the Ikolame Marchasar Vyasai, Kidakomar Hasam. So it's the process.
A little bit of a chiddush. Why is it? Number two things are assumed by this here. Yitzhak, go ahead.
the assumption that that's mechalik, that the sakin is also is not a process, that the sakin is instantaneous,
which isn't so obvious. And that's, as you pointed out, the Taz doesn't think it's so obvious, right?
Right.
And again, it's somewhere in between, because yeah, the other happens mimela, water loss, it's clear, and it has to happen that way. It doesn't go from, doesn't lose 10 sa'ah at once. Here, there could be in one action. It just doesn't happen mimela, so maybe it's not process-oriented. Number two, it could happen in action. It just doesn't have to happen in one action. Somewhere in between, right, the mikvah, right, and the nida case, even as in terms of it being a process. But there's another chiddush, and that is, Yitzhak? You said, based on the Gemara in Nida,
that we're rejecting that because we're just going with Tarki L'Resa versus Chad L'Resa.
Exactly. Is it clear in the Gemara Nida that Chaser V'Asai remains a factor? Number one, it could be that, you know, we revise how we define that. You know, when we say Hagas, Hagas, and so on. But even without that, when the Gemara says in the end, Tarti L'Resa, Chad L'Resa, it's very possible that the Gemara turned it back on Chaser V'Asai. Because as we said, why should we really care? You know, maybe there's no chalos of the process. And even if there is, why do we care? What we really care about, one would think, is the status of the sakin at the critical moment. The status of the mikvah at the critical moment. The status of the dam at the critical moment where there's a suffix. Now, I think there's an answer to this question. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, just trying to be the devil's advocate to show you that it's mechudash. So lamaskana, both in terms of what constitutes chaser v'asai, which we see this debate about, and whether or not it's even a chalos lamaskana, not so simple. That's the first answer, Tosis. Okay.
That we have a definite option that wouldn't be problematic for the shechita at all. And don't compare it to our case with chatzitza. It's not the tefila that's the vaday taval. It's the fact that there would be a reason, there would be a vaday reason for the chatzitza to be here post tefila. The mistama may also mention is asik, but that it came from when you were being is asik with the chatzitza. But Abul Hasam in the Gemara Nida, Mashayich Lomar Vaday Tabal Har Mikvah Chaser Tabal VeInzu Tfila. There's no Vaday Tfila because that Gufa is the suffix whether or not the Mikvah was Chaser B'Shas Tfila, and if it was, then there was no Tfila at all. It seems to touch on the topic of how we're viewing suffix Motzim Midei Vaday. With that question of how similar is this across all these cases.
Right. And even remember, for Rav Chisda himself, if it's not even Osek B'Shviras HaTzamos Kol Hayom, right, it's even more problematic.
Right.
So it sounds like there's some sort of a difference between, again, the case of Sakin and Chatzitza. Maybe, right? And the case of Tevila B'Mikvah. So we'll get back to that. It's very, not Pashut at all.
Right.
Okay. Well, hold on. We knew 100% that it was, you know, we might be Machmer. Okay. Well, hold on. I mean, B'Samach,
Gabi, Rabbi Yosef, the Taref, Ad Tlis, Rechiyusa, so he called him, Ad Delo, Krim Chista. Ad Del Rav Chista, Filo Basar, Sekshera. Rav Chisda would be even more makel if he should karev levadai the ba'etzim shal mafrekas shal basar sa'afkin, because it's a karev levadai that even if it was pagum and even if you weren't shover atzamos kol hayom, it would still be fine because it was ba'etzim shal mafrekas and it was the last part
that we just made. So does he really think that it's karev levadai? I mean, there's really a machlokas in mitzias whether karev levadai etzim of the mafrekas And shel basraisa, by the way, which is fat, meaning, is there any more probability, you know, that it was, again, if, let me say it this way. If it's based on etzem shel mafrekes, if you lose the sakin and you don't check it, you have a sakin which was checked, you did a shechita, then you lost the sakin.
Rav Chisda wouldn't.
We don't say that it was badai. What?
Rav Chisda wouldn't care.
He wouldn't care. Rav Huna wouldn't care either, though. Right? So it's a strange, and if you're talking about basrais as opposed to, is there any more probability that it was damaged in the last one than it was in the first one?
It seems to be a practical difference. Which seems to be
the Rav Chisda wouldn't care if you did a second shechita. It seems to be what kind of a difference?
Like he seems to be saying that it's a practical, like they were more zahir on the. On the Rishonos, and therefore it's technically more likely that it was Nifkam on the Achronos.
Yeah, that's a Tosa science. Correct. We'll see the Rajba sees this in more fundamental terms. But Tosas does, the Dochek has to say this for that reason. Correct?
Right.
The Fisher Rishonos Ragili Hizar, go ahead.
Shalitcha Vitzasakim Bekach Mafrakas Tafisha Adayan Sarach Lishchot Acheros Aval Ba'achron Oluchayish. And therefore, there's more of a chash on the last Shrita, and that's when the problem would happen.
Okay, so Tosa's first answer is Chasar Vasoi, which, as I say, carries a couple of Chidushim. But again, if he thinks that's a factor, maybe even quantitatively, and it's Chai V'Kayim, you know, despite the maskana of the Gemara Nida, A, B, it applies here. Maybe it's just a factor, like there's this clash between these, you know, multiple conflicting chazakas that are telling different, you know, reconstructive stories. And this puts it over the top. And the answer is, no, either the Shviras Atzomos Kolayom or the Mefrekes Ha'acharona, because he's going to be more lax about that. That puts it over the top. Okay, so maybe it's quantitative answers. Okay, we'll see going forward. Okay, the Odei Shlomar, third answer.
So Odei Shlomar, Demali is Saladreya Sabasak and Demali is Saladreya Sababahema.
Well, but the Gemara said that.
Right, so the only difference would be Al Al Karcha Chachi Kamar, if it's Sak in Israel, Perish Viko Sveke Tuva. Shema Ba'atzim Nifgama, Miafilu Ba'or Nifgama, Shema Lo Nishchatu Asimanim Kenegar Apigima. Bahavi Kisvik Sveka.
What is that?
That because the Reisa is in the Sak and Dafka, so therefore that creates something like a Sfik Sfika where we can have this additional suffix of that maybe it wasn't Nifgam in the animal at all, and it was Nifgam outside. It's possible that the Shrita was still done correctly.
Yeah. So I think the impression you get in Tosis here is that Tosis is working quantitatively on all three answers. And this, again, on the one hand, Tosa says a great thing here, right? And that is, like, who cares? Why should we give any credence to Sakin Israeli, Behemoth of Israeli? The answer is it doesn't mean it at all. What sounds like a very formalistic difference in the Gemara is really, you know, a cover for saying, like, there's a Svek Sveka, and even when Tosis introduces, let's say, the easiest answer of all, in terms of the Rishonim, namely, you know, for it to counter Rav Huna in general, which is, it's possible for Sakin to be Paguma, and still not to have Shechita Psula. Now again, if we know that you were Shochet Pesakin Paguma, right?
That would for sure be a problem.
For sure be puzzle. Why? Because it's only Safek Echad. That's what Tosis will say. But if it's a Svek Sveka, so basically Tosis turned, you know, this in the second answer of Tosis certainly, and in the third answer of Tosis even more so, Tosis turned everything into there are a lot of chazakos here. We have rules normally about which one is Koveya. And when the factors are multiplied, because the difference, I guess, is slight, it's all like a battle. It's all a war. It's who has more ammunition, right? And the amount of ammunition, you know, depends on some of these circumstances. Even Chasav Asai sounds like it's a little bit connected to that perspective. Okay? Ahash Deparach Shapri Basra Hachi. So this is again Tosis continuing his perspective. It's like what?
That it's all about just like viewing these in a more quantitative way. Like, do we have?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do we have more reasons lakula than we do lahachmir?
Right.
In terms of juggling our chazakos.
Excellent. Okay. And Tosis and Nida.
Even within Tosfos, is it possible? How is it possible that he's only speaking quantitatively? Like from his lashonos, it sounds like. Even when he introduces Seik Seika, he doesn't seem to think this is classic Seik Seika. He himself seems to be recognizing that this, like as an ordinary Seik Seika, this wouldn't be sufficient, which right. seems to imply this only has to do with like the interrelationships between some of these qualitative factors.
Well, again, I'm going to try to suggest that you could take all of these answers and say that, obviously based on what I've said already, but I'm just trying to point out that the language of Tosa seems to be working hard, you know, to quantify these things. And he is still saying, but so I think the way I'm accounting for your ha'ara is by saying, yeah, to begin with, this is a very slight advantage. And therefore, when you factor in, you know, some what otherwise would be insignificant forces, because they're not, you know, typically robust enough to qualify for Sfek Sfeika and things like that, you know, it still upends that delicate balance and pushes it in the other direction. That's how I'm trying to account for it. But what I really prefer, obviously, is to take, you know, all of Tosis's answers, Chasar Vasai, you know, the Tlia, or the existence of another Tlia, and especially Safek Yisroi, Behema Lo Yisroi, Asakan Yisroi, Behema Lo Yisroi, to try to explain it, and especially, as I say, the idea that maybe it's conceivable to have a Shechita Kshera even with Asakan Peguma, right? Even though alone that will not work, and to explain them conceptually. So that's what I'm going to suggest. I just think the length, Tosis is working very, very hard, mostly not to say that, unless you think the qualitative things that Tosis is saying also go into what I'm about to say, or which I've said, which I'm about to elaborate. Okay. What about Tosis and Chulin, just for the sake of comprehensiveness? Again, there are a bunch of sugyas here. Again, I'm sorry we can't do all this, but the sugya and kedushin ayin test is very critical. I'll say something about that in a minute. Ayin Tesamid Aleph, Ayin Tesamid Beis, Hari Bogeris Lefaneinu, and the Tosis read that. I think I gave that. Hopefully we'll get back to it on Tuesday a little bit. But there are a bunch of other Gemaras too, and I'll show you some exceptions in the Shulchan Aruch in just a minute too. What does Tosis say in Chulin, Yitzchak?
Tosis Nida.
I'm sorry, Tosis Nida. Thank you.
So Tema Perkam de Chulin, Amrin and Shachta, Vinim Tzasak and Pagum, So over there we have the Vaday Pogim, which
that's like the second answer of Tosis here, right?
Right.
But notice here, he doesn't have...
This, he doesn't discuss the mafrekas.
Yeah, and number one. And number two, it's not as, you know, quantitatively formulated, correct? It could just be bekitzer.
Right.
But there's less of you... Here you're wondering more, like, you know, maybe this isn't just a pragmatic factor, right? Perhaps. Inami?
Inami ein svar l'chalek bein mikvah yisrael l'adam yisrael. V'hasam achi pirosho sakin yisrael v'ika sveiki tuva shema ba'etzem nifgam v'yafila ba'or nifgam shema nifgam b'miyot basra v'intim tzolomar nifgam b'miyot kama shema lo shachah k'neger apagima.
Yeah, so that part sounds like it's a sveksveika, but again, it doesn't have the same thrust. I would say that our tosis works much harder. It could be because the local tosis in Chulin from the Sugin Chulin. Some of these, I would agree with Natan, might work into what it is that I want to say. I'm not sure. I think certainly the Rajba does and others. But yeah, Akasha.
So Akasha, the Amar Hasam, Minoan Dazina Basar Chazaka.
It helps, but. Then at the end, he talks about the chaser, just like the final answer.
V'yei shlomar, d'gabi mikvah, regilos lis chaser ma'at ma'at. U'lekach, iko l'meimar d'mei kara chaser. Abo hanega, regilos lis chaser b'vas achas pachos mikugris. L'kach arminan hasam, hashtu de chaser, v'uki hanega b'cheskas sholem, b'yutziyas hakoim en abayis.
This again refers to the sugya also in Chulin about the makar of chazaka d'mei kara to begin with. Yeah. Go ahead.
Right.
So what is important is that Tosfos here again seems to say that what? That chaser v'asai remains a factor even the matzka.
Right.
Okay. So what I'd like to say is that first of all, let me just introduce, I mean, let's stop it in a couple of minutes, but let me introduce one other factor in three other cases and say the first thing. So the one other factor is that, again, if you look at Tosis in Kiddushin, Daf Ayin Tes, the Re, I believe, right, there's even the possibility that, like the Reyesa, you know, is practically ignored. Or like, you know, the Chazaka, the Hashta really doesn't have proper standing as a Chazaka. At least it's such a perspective. So it's just strange, you know, if you're looking at it as, you know, this factor, that factor, and you're adding them up, you know, we have three l'kulan, two l'chumra, or as the case may be. And even if they weigh a little bit differently, you know, because one against the other is clearly stronger, but then the combinations, you know, mess up the, you know, not mess up, they change the, you know, the math. You know, and that's the balance of power in the war, you know, between these factors and forces. But if you really think that Chazaka de Hashta, you know, is basically doesn't register against the Chazaka de Mi'ikara, when you just have Chazaka de Mi'ikara, Chazaka de Hashta, then, meaning the Reisa doesn't work, it's more difficult to explain. You can say, oh, you know, it's beaten by the Chazaka de Mi'ikara. But if you say that Chazaka d'Hashta b'makom Chazaka d'Mikara is kind of like klum, right, it becomes more difficult to see how it gets rehabilitated in the context of Chazaka d'Mikara. Okay, so that's number one. And number two is that, again, walking away from this Gemara, you would think that there's a principle, and that is a Tartil Reyesa, you know, always wins, right? Now, in light of Tosis and the other Rishonim, Chachmei Svarad, in Chulin, in Nida, etc., we know that there are some exceptions, right? But by and large, especially if you hold like Rav Huna, which mostly we do, right? Tosis's question is according to Rav Chisda. So one could still walk away thinking that Lahalacha, Tartel Reyesa, always wins. However, that isn't so pashut either. The Shev Shmaitza, I think in Shmaitza Gimel, if I'm remembering correctly, quotes a bunch of cases. Other Achronim point to these cases as well. where it appears that even the halacha, we don't always paskin like tartalareis. For example, what are some cases like that? Zach? I see Zach's with us. Did you get a chance to see?
In the Shev Shmaitza?
Well, cases that seem to defy this rule.
The Ketzos said it seemed to say it was a machlokas, whether we say Tarti Reza has an impact on the Chazaka Demi Kara. I thought.
Ketzos does, yeah. Well, the Ketzos is the Shev Shmaitza.
No, but the Ketzos and the Shev
Shmaitza speak the Ketzos. The Ketzos would be Kosher Mishpa. What's the case there?
It's about an aide who other aidim come in and say that he's really possible to aid this, but they don't know when he did the Avera. Oh,
excellent. Exactly. You had an aide who was made in certain cases, right? And now two aidim come along and they establish that he's possible because he's an Avarian, you know, Sheesh Bamalkas, let's say, the Raisa. But we don't know, like, when he became an aid possible. And the question is, can we only passel his edus, you know, lemafreya, from the time that he was vadai passel? But if there's a period of time between knowing he was kosher or his cheskas kosher, so not, if there's a suffek, you know, a limbo area in between, or, an ambiguity in between, what happens to the edus that he gave in Dine Mamanis? What's the issue? Why is that an issue of Tarta? Lareus or Zach?
Because right now he's a Rasha Lefanecha, Lefanenu.
Correct.
And he would
that's
never...
That's a Reus on his original Cheskas Kashrus of the Ritual Kosher.
Right, and the Mammon is the...
And the Mammon is Mechadero Olam Araya. It's kind of like Chazaka Mikar. There's a huge literature, which of course has its roots in the Gemara and in the Rishonim, but has really developed a lot in the Achronim, and a lot in the Ksosis, the Ksosis brother, the Kuntras Asfekos, and the Ksos himself, and the Shev Shmaitz and others, about the relationship between Cheskas Mamon and Cheskas Iser. Also about Marakama and Cheskas Mamon, but also about the relationship between Cheskas Mamon and Cheskas Iser. In other words, whether Motzi Mechaver Lev Araya is stronger than, less than, or equal to a typical chazaka demikar. But assuming that it is, at least equivalent to it, then you have tartel reisa, because you have cheskas mamon plus pasuhu lefanenu, correct? And that is, on the other side, you have... his cheskas, chazaka de mikara, of being a cheskas, a Yisrael kosher and an aid kosher. Correct?
Yeah.
So that is a big problem. The Rivash and Achuva and the Ramah in Simon Lamed Aleph Tzif Chav Gimel both paskin that what?
That, we don't passel his previous,
we don't passel the mafreya beyond what we know for certain. Is adios. That seems to defy the rule of Tartel Reis. Okay, that's one example. You have any other examples? Zach? Another Rama, closer to home.
Oh, that right. If he's if we find out that the Shochet doesn't know Hilchos Shchita.
Correct. The Shochet doesn't know Hilchos Shchita. I mean, he gave him a Bechina. He doesn't seem to know enough. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know enough. Whatever it is. Well, we know at some point that he got a Kabbalah for Shchita. Because he passed his Aritz Bechinas, right? And he's been shechting for 10 years. And then when it comes for the refresher of Bechina, right, he fails, right? Lo'elenu. Would never happen here, but I guess it's possible someplace that... It's less scrutinizing it could happen. So now the question is, what about all the shchitas that took place from the time that he got his Kabbalah till the time where he failed his refresher bechina? Right? Zach, so what's the story with that?
And the Ramah says that they're kosher.
The Ramah says that it's all kosher. And you have this massive Taz, which I can't, again, I'm going to have to end in a minute, but maybe we'll pick up with some of the details of the Taz, the Shitaso in general. But he also speaks about, you know, Chosav Asai here, like fascinating stuff in general. The Taz plugs in basically, well, the Taz asks the question, Zach, what happened to Taz Reyesa?
Right.
Then he also plugs in Arsuge and Tosas, and the answers that Tosas gives, right? And that's only Lord Rav Chisda, right? It's interesting that he even does that. So he talks about, for example, is a loss of memory or loss of knowledge as a fascinating question. Is that Chasar V'yasai?
Taz says it is, I think.
What?
The Taz says it is, I think.
Yeah, he thinks it is. He said, well, for sure, shikha doesn't happen overnight. I mean, you don't just lose all your knowledge. In that case, it's like the mikvah. Like the mikvah, or you know, is it something that you anticipate and see as a process, or like you have to go, like we said, even about the mikvah, but you can be mechalic. Like, you know, there's a certain threshold of knowledgeability that, you know, that kashers you. You know, first of all, the process of the mikvah, it really is a process. It's a predictable process. Probably if you know, you know, the environmental, you know, conditions. Is that true in neurologically, in memory, and depending on, you know, how much, obviously it's way more amorphous. I guess you could say if you know exactly, you know, how his neurological, you know, infrastructure works and how much he's been, you know, keeping up, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, but obviously that's very different than, you know, both in terms of being predictive and perceived as a pro. There's an inevitable water loss, you know, in a likely time frame. You know, much, much less so, both in terms of inevitability and in terms of how the process works, as well as maybe in the chalos question, you know, is there a plus? You know, is there only one moment? You know, he knows enough, he doesn't know enough, or, you know, it's getting less and less and less and less and less getting to the... So that's a fascinating question. You know, he has this whole analysis based on Artosis, which is good halacha, but the Taz basically says, I disagree with the Psak of the Ramah. I think that all the OU has to send out a, you know, a mea culpa letter. Certainly whatever's on the, still in the stores. But even otherwise, I tell people, you know what, you were metamte misalev for the, you know, or suffix metamte misalev, you know, for the last 8 years. Wow. Okay, that's the Taz. So that's a fascinating issue. And then there's another one also very relevant to us. Binyamin, the one in Kufiyat Tes, which Shmaitza speaks about also. Again, there's a Taz there too. What, did you see that one?
I didn't get a chance.
Okay. Michael? I see Michael's here. Ah.
About the Mumar becoming a Mumar?
The Mumar.
Yeah.
What about the Mumar?
So whether it passels the Kalim or asers the Kalim Lamafreya also.
What happened? What's the case?
He becomes a Mumar on the Shvita.
It turns out, now we know this guy's a Mumar. Let's say he's a Mumar Lavardazara or Mumar Lechal Shabbos Farhesya or Mumar Lashkita, whatever. Mumar Lenevela. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
We don't know exactly. We know now, but we don't know when that began. He had a Cheskes Kashrus. Now the Harayas Alefaneinu is that his Shkitasa would be Nevela. And we just can't, just like the person whose knowledge, you know, went under the radar. But this is a different kind of psal. So some of the Gaonim, this is a Machlokas, right? Once again. You know, some say, what's the psak there in the Beis Yosef?
Beis Yosef says it's not possible the Mafreya.
Not possible the Mafreya. And some Gaonim and the Taz say it should be possible the Mafreya because it's Tartel Reyesa. Correct? Yes or no?
Yeah, I agree.
There's no Chosar Vasoi here, I mean, but, you know, okay. So, So what do we do with all these cases? Huh. So one way to do it, I mean, again, if light of Tosfos in Chulin, the way that we've been interpreting it, you know, you could say about each case, you could, you know, you could analyze each case, you know, you could quantify, you know, the factors, and, you know, what we learned according to this may be that Tartilareis, at least for Rav Chizo, because it's true even for Rav Huna, depends how much of Rav Huna depends on Or Nifkama, and how much of, which we'll get to, or how much of Rav Huna, excuse me, is based on Tartilareis, in light of Tosfos' question, right? But either way, what you could do is nickel and dime, you know, this whole process. Literally, right? How much chasav asai, how much this, how much, etc. Oh. So what I'd like to say about all this stuff goes back to what I said last week, and this, I think, also may be an approach broadly to the extremes of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. So let me go back to one previous question, right? Ellie, where's Ellie? Ellie still with us? Ellie?
Yeah.
There it is. Okay. Name of the question that I asked you earlier. Again, I'll try to finish up in 3 minutes, and then we'll elaborate this and then go to the next part of the sugya and the Rishonim next time. But what's the question I asked you earlier?
About the chazaka relating to the Taharut?
Yeah. So the Rishonim discusses the Ramban, the Ritva, and Erevin, and Nida. All over the place they discuss this, because it's a really good question. Right? Why don't we care, let's say in the mikvah case, if we're talking about somebody's osik b'taharos? So there are three factors, right? There's the chazaka d'mikara of the gavra. There is the chazaka d'mikara and the reyesa of either the chatzitza of the tefillah or the mikvah of the tefillah. And there's also the cheskas mikara of the taharos. Right? All the Rishonim think we don't factor that in, all things being equal. But it's interesting that there are different formulations why that is so. So if you look, for example, the Ritva, it's a good place to look, in Erevin, what they say is that in Achanami, there is a chazaka of the Taharos, which is Lekula. However, the reason it doesn't play a role here, even though it is Chai V'Kayam, is because it's not the Makor HaSafek. Right? The Safek really revolves, as if we could resolve the Safek of whether this is a Tvila B'mikvah Kshera, right? Then, you know, that's really what the Reyesa really raised that question. And therefore, even though there is a Cheskas Tahara, it doesn't count in the mix, because Azlina and Basar Goreim HaChazaka. Let me see. I think I wrote the language down. Let me see. Just 1 second. Yeah. The language of the Ritva is B'kol Makom Ein Ladun Chazaka Ela Midavar Shasafek Ba Mimenu. You go by the latest HaSafek, the Makara HaSafek. But other Rishonim give a different answer to the question. It could be it's not such a big difference between them. There probably are nafkamina. But the majority of the Rishonim don't answer it that way. What they say is, Kivan devadai naga, paka chazaka minai. In other words, once is vadai naga betaharos, the cheskas taharos, right, is not just irrelevant, but it's paka. Is that really true? I mean, there's a catch 22, right? Because we're not sure what the status of the person is. Meaning, what the Rishonim are saying is there's a vadai naga safek tame, but the vadai naga already makes cheska satahara moot. I mean, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist independent of resolving the question of Naga. That's different than the first formulation, which is that Chazaka exists, but it's not a relevant factor to solve this problem. They're not such a big difference. Okay. So what I'd like to say, based on this idea of Vadai Naga, making Cheskas Tahara moot, is the following. And that is, what you see from there is, it's not, you know, the way to do this is not simply to count up the different factors. Even to figure out, I mean, partially it is to figure out which factors are relevant, you know, and which are not. Right, but more than both of those things is that there's an idea sometimes of everything being contingent upon the resolution of a certain maisa. What the Rishonim were saying about legabe suffik taharos, right, there's vadai noga, and therefore suffik noga betumor betahara, and therefore that's all that counts. We even lost, legabe this halacha at least, the status of chazaka on the towers, because they're already dependent upon the vadai naga. But should you really say that? I mean, in the end of the day, we don't know whether this naga was consequential or not. So here's where what I suggested the other day comes into play, and I want to expand on it briefly now, and I'll expand more when we elaborate more Tuesday. And that is, I think that there's a difference between what I'm calling Naga Besafek and Safek Naga, or Maisa Besafek and a Safek Maisa. Meaning where, you know, the action, right, that took place has some sort of halachic status and standing, you know, all things being equal. In other words, where it's vadai naga, or whether it's a maisa, albeit suffek, besuffek, I'll explain what that means in a second. Everything then depends, everything plays out only on the chazakos related to that maisa. However, where the suffek really is, whether or not there's halachic significance to the pe'ula, whether it really is a maisa halachically, where that happens, why shouldn't you factor in other chazakos? After all, we're not sure if anything consequential took place. So basically, what I'd like to suggest is that there are two factors that dictate, roughly speaking, maybe probably more, there are a few factors that dictate whether we're dealing with a maisa besafek or a safek maisa. One is if the hachra'a is overwhelmingly, right, in the direction of approving or sanctioning or validating this maisa. Okay, so if you have, you know, if you don't have a reyasa, then of course, you know, chazaka de mikara, even though it's not a vadai, is always going to make the maisa. Like, again, you did a tefillah and a mikvah. You checked the mikvah 10 years ago. No one has checked it since. That's not a good idea. And you can use it like a paper. But let's say that happens. And you didn't check it afterwards either. Okay? So, the question is, you know, why aren't you also concerned about the gavra being becheskas tame? The answer is because on the internal question of how to assess the maisa tvila, right, the mukzakus is clear. Chazaka de mikara beats out chazaka de hashta. You might even, according to that view in Tosis and Kiddushin and so on, you might even go further and say the reyesa's kamandalesa, or the suffic reyesa, you know, is kamandalesa. Maybe even a real reyesa is kamandalesa, in all things being equal, that's the only thing that you have. But certainly a suffic reyesa is kamandalesa. Oh, that's one factor. But the second that the issue becomes more complicated, because there really is a reyesa lefanecha, so then the overwhelming, there's a reyesa lefanecha and there's a cheskas haguf de meikara, you know, that supports it, or that is on the same side of it. So then the idea that it's vadai naga becomes more questionable. Then maybe it depends on other factors to determine whether or not we're dealing with vadai, you know, with maisa the suffek or suffek maisa. What would those factors be? So one possibility is the issue about, is the suffek about the hechsher, the koach tikkun of the maisa, or about the hagdara of the maisa itself? So whenever it's a suffek hechsher, suffek psul, I would say, well, you have a vadai nagai. You have a maisa, the suffek hechsher. And that still renders, let's say, the next stage, the taharos, or, frankly, the chazaka de mikar, the cheskas haguf of the gavra, irrelevant. Everything plays out on whether or not this vadai maisa besafek hechsher or psul, right, al pidin, is kal or not. But if the suffek is, there's no hachra'a, you know, in terms of klale sveikos that is definitive enough, and litzad, that there's a psul, it's not just a psul, it's hafkos hamaisa, and as we don't know if it's tvila. That's what's at stake. Not whether it's a tefila kshera. We don't know whether it's a maisa shchita. Not whether it's a shchita bekashrus or bepsul. A subtle difference. We don't know whether there's a maisa edus or a shame aid, as opposed to there's a shame aid, maybe even a haggadah, but it's possible. That is koveya. Oh. So if that's the case, then we can understand quite a few things. In this question of whether something is a maisa besafek or a suffek maisa, which dictates whether or not we say tartalareisa, meaning whether we rehabilitate and add into the mix the original cheskas haguf, or everything plays out with regard to this particular process of tikkun itself, with regard to this question, right, we're now going to introduce several subtle factors. So when it comes to, I'll discuss the three cases, more extensively next time just to reinforce them. But I think in every one of those cases, this is at least partially the issue, right? When it comes to Eidos, I'll give the example, right? What's the status of an Eid puzzle? The famous Shita of the Ravid, let's discuss more about it. The Ravid and the Rimigash, each in their way, who hold that a bal davar, we discussed this a couple of years back, a bal davar is not an aid puzzle. He's mufkami aidus. That's why about a bal davar, you don't say aidus shabbat l'mitzasa batla kula, you say palginan dibure. His words don't register. Because he is not an aid. But the an aid puzzle, we do say it is Shabbat l'miktasa bat l'kula. Because he's an aid, he's just an aid puzzle. So I wonder whether a suf aid puzzle, right, doesn't make the resolution, you know, when did all of this subsul come about, it takes it away from Tarat l'Reyusa. Because everything revolves around not a suffek maisa, but a maisa besuffek hechsher. Similarly, this one's the easiest one. Simon Aleph in Yoredeya. Right? When the Gemara says in Chulin, right, that you require, you know, a bedika, right, how do we really understand that? Right, so the pashtus of the Gemara is that it relates to kashrus and paslus. Right, that's what the Gemara seems to say. The Rambam, when he formulates this halacha, goes even further. It's suffek nevela. It's not even necessarily pasul, it's pasul b'tar suffek. So if the question is whether or not, you know, he is a pusher in terms of his knowledgeability, right? The question isn't in terms of the Maisa Shrita necessarily. It's theoretically possible for him to do a proper Maisa Shrita, even if he doesn't know what he's doing. We had this when we talked about Rov Mitzvah Netzer Shrita Mumchen Hain, you know, as well. Right? You could do that. So the question is whether or not it's a kosher shchita based on what we know. But a maisa shchita it certainly is. Now, with regard to mumar, it's a trickier question in a way. Maybe it depends on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. Right? What does it mean? Well, maybe it depends on one of three things, let's say. Number one, when does somebody become a mumar? The more mumar is a status, you may only have to establish it and you never retroject it. Okay. Not a mumar until we know 100% you're a mumar. That's part of the din of mumar. This relates to the questions that we discussed about mumar. Does it take one time, three times? Are you a mumar in the maisa that makes you a mumar? You know, this again, daf yadalid, those kind of questions. Even if we think, you know, like the Beis Halevi in his famous tshuva about Mumar Liyom HaKippurim, where the Beis Halevi has this idea that it's not the maisa that you do that makes you a mumar, it's what that reflects about who you are, you know, behind closed doors. Okay, so then you might really be a mumar from the time that you're really behind closed doors a mumar. But either way, the question is, if you're a mumar, what impact does that have on your shkita? Let's say a mumar, let's say, Lekola Tarikula for the moment. We know there's a huge debate, right? Is that like a Knas Doraisa? How does that fit in with Yisrael Afa Bishachata Yisrael, who, all the topics, all the discussions that we had about that? That's a second factor. And the third factor is what I just alluded to a moment ago. That is this major debate between the Rosh and the Rambam, which we still should speak more about. And that is that the Rosh says, Bali Tosis, the Re, that the Re, we had it also on Hamid Beis in Tosis. I'm sorry, Dalin Beis in Tosis. And that is that, even a Mumar Lahachas according to Tosis. And that is that he's Kigai Gamur. He's like an Eino Bar Zvicha. According to the Rambam, right, when we say that that somebody is kegoy, that a goy in shchita, it sounds like it's a psul, but not hafkos maisa shchita. Right, you don't need kedushas Yisrael. It's the Rambam's famous idea, which again is a reason why we could say yes or we could say no. But there are some who suggest that the nafka meaning between the Rambam and Balei Tosis is Ger Toshav, right? Because it isn't a sine qua non that you need Kedushas Yisrael to do Shechita necessarily. It could be a psul. For example, there's a major debate among the Rishonim, and this is codified in the end in Siman Beis in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have a Yisrael and a non-Jew who are Shochet together. Either they split up, you know, what you need for the Simanim, Or they actually do it all together. And what about, the Miyud Basra? A whole debate. Bikitsur, Shchitas Goy, even if Shchitas Momer is Shchitas Goy, there seems to be a debate whether Shchitas Goy is a Dover HaPosel or it's simply not a Maisa Shchita at all. Again, not being a Maisa Shchita regarding, you know, joint Shchita and or... we were talking about before, this issue is actually a kula, right? But if it is a shchita, but it's pasul, so then the suffix is not whether it's a maisa shchita. That's not a maisa b'suffik. I'm sorry, that's not a suffik maisa. That's a maisa b'suffik heksher. So it could be that all these cases, you have to analyze each one. We don't apply the rule of Tarat L'Reisa because it's like Vaday Noga, just like some of the Rishonim said about the cheskas taharos. But here we're saying it about the chazaka to me karov cheskas aguf, which is more mechudash. Oh, if that's the case, number one, so let's turn to Tosas's. I know I'm going over time, but it's going to literally finish in a minute. Tosas gave several answers in Chulin and in Nida. You know, maybe within Rav Chisda, maybe this applies to Halacha, even if you're like Rav Huna. Hard to know. Right? To distinguish between the Tarta L'Reyesa, right, of Mikvah Shenimdad, and let's say the Chalitza and the Sakin. And part of that also was to explain, right, is what do we mean when we say the distinction of Sakin Esrai, Behema, Lois Roy. So I'd like to suggest is here too, this might be variations on the chiluk that I'm suggesting. Here, not so much in terms of, you know, whether something is mufka or it's a psul, but again, in the nature of the psul or the nature of the hafka. Because on the one hand, why, I mean, the Rishonim are right, what do we really care whether the Reyesa is in the Sakin or the Reyesa is in the Chafza. Right? Practically, we shouldn't care. What Tosas did was they turned that into a Sveksveika, albeit, you know, a very questionable Sveksveika. Or why should we care about Chasar Vasoi or Lo Chasar Vasoi? Whether it's a creeping, you know, anticipated, you know, or even Lamafreya, we look at it as a process, or it happened, bevas, you know, it happened in one fell swoop. Like, why should we care? Moreover, the Rajba and other Chachmei Sfarad, when they talk about the question of, you know, Shema Be'ed Etzem Shel Varekes, or, and with, especially when they talk about, you know, it's possible that you could have a Sakin Pagum and you could still have a Shechita Kshera. But the way they formulate it is not, therefore, it's the Svek Sveka, throw it into the mix, but as a formal din. But remember, we don't consider that possibility if all we have is the Safek. We know that you're Shochet, the Sakin Pagum. Right, we're not countenancing, you know, that Shema, you know, Shema Shachat, you know, Shalo B'mokom HaPagam. So why do we really, I mean, how does this work one way or another? But I think in all these questions altogether, it's the same answer. I mean, in all these cases, we're trying to figure out whether or not the single focus of resolving the status, the halachic status, is this process, or whether or not this process, you know, alone is insufficient, and either because we can still, it still is relevant, there are still relevant other chazakos, or maybe because not only are they, do they remain relevant, but on the contrary, maybe the ambiguity within this process is sufficient that they are not only relevant, but that they become, right, the decisive factors. So it isn't just, I still think there are two possibilities here, that, you know, it isn't just the combination, you know, but they're accessible now to be part of the war. But maybe what we're really saying is that that becomes not just an added, or the over, you know, the decisive factor, but that it goes back to that. It goes back to the cheskas aguf. So maybe all of these factors determine this question. Is it a maisa b'safek, or is it a safek maisa? For example, right? Maybe that's the pshat in sakin esroi, behema lo esroi. Practically, it doesn't make a difference. Because if the sakin is esroi, then you know, then that affects the status of the behema. But since the safek revolves around the suffer, the sakin, and not directly in the hema, maybe that's a reason to say that this is a mice, this is a mice of a suffek, not a suffek mice. Only something where the reyesa is in the guf hadavar, the chefza is in and hears in the davar hanitkan or shema nitkan. This is a way of drawing the line. And the same may be true with regard to, I'll make another suggestion Tuesday, with the question of chaser v'asai. Maybe chaser v'asai says, listen, you know, this whole process, you know, this idea that, oh, it's vadei naga, you know, it's not vadei naga because chaser v'asai. It's vadei taval, you know, safek psul. No, because merosh, we know that the mikvah is getting less and less and less and less and less. And certainly that's the idea. If it's possible that you can say that there's a maisa shchita, even with a sakin, which is pagum, even though typically if that's the only question on the table, we don't rely on that. But a minimum, it says there's no hafgas maisa shchita necessarily. It's a shchita b'psul. Because it's possible that there's no akiras hasimanim, right? Even though the unlikeliness of that makes it possible, once we know, there are two levels. If we know that the shechita was actually done besakin pogum, I'm saying that the pogum part touched the simanim, then of course that's not a maisa shechita. But if not, meaning if we don't know that, but we know the sakin was pogum, that's still psul. But it's not hafkas amaisa. So that is the pshat of sakin estroi behema lo estroi, according to some of those rishon. I think the language of the Rajba, we talks about, you know, or and mifarekes, really highlights that. I'll try to read it next time. I don't have it right this second in front of me. Or do I? Do we have another minute? I just have to go in a minute because I have some kolal things, but one second. I think I do have the language. When the Rajba relates to this question, he says, "Inam yesh lefarish dachikam." This is the Rajba and the Chidushim. The Rajba and Torah Sabai is also important. Dachikamar hasam vane gavritroi di efshar lios hamikvachaser ol davar chotitz lios alav shetala lo tefila. Here's the key language. Lo alima reyasa de sakin. La fuke behema mecheskes kashrusa kivki shkuta lafanecha. So again, if we knew it was pogum, we would certainly be posel. But the Rajba is emphasizing that this is a different kind of a psul. Oh, so with that, this is what I want to finish with. Maybe we can go back to Rav Chisda and Rav Huna. Maybe the chiddush of Rav Huna. Again, we have a problem, right? We're not sure in Rav Huna. And both Rav Huna and Rav Chisda are extreme. On the Rav Huna side, we don't know how much weight to give to the Kishmaitse, to the Chazaka de Meikara, although Rav Chisda agrees with that. And how much weight to give to, I think, the typically unlikely possibility of Shema Ba'ar Nifkama. Because again, if there's no Reyesa, we're not worried about Shema Ba'ar Nifkama. Right? So Malcolm Reyes, this all of a sudden becomes like, okay, you can say, well, once we know, then the probability of it being this factor certainly increases. That's certainly true. How much does it increase? How much do you need it to increase? Okay, that could be an approach. However, what I'd like to suggest is a little bit different idea, and that is that since Rav Huna said like this, if you have a Reyes on the Fanecha already, So then the fact that Shema Ba'or Nifkama, in his view, increases the prospect legally, conceptually, of looking at this not as Maisa B'Safek, but as a Safek Maisa. It could be that the Or is Nifkama, and there's now Reisa. So, well, we'll take the worst case scenario. Maybe also because Kishmaitse, to be motzi an animal micheskas, you know, iser to cheskas heter, requires a vade naga. And because Shema Ba'or Nifkama, there's no vade naga. There's no Shema Ba'or Nifkama without a reyasa. But with a reyasa, even though the numbers aren't so great, what it means is that you have to look now not at the process where there's a chazaka to mikara against the chazaka the hashta, right? But that the cheskas aguf. Shema ba'or nifkama is a din. It's not a number. It has to be a minimum number. It's a din of safek shkita. And maybe that's gufo where Rav Chisda said that's wrong. Maybe Rav Chisda said, listen, it's ain't safek motzi b'dei vadai, meaning, as long, even if it's only the mefarekas and kol shekein, if it's shavar ba'atomos kol hayom, so there's a better tliya, or in the case of, etzem, maybe it's still a better tliya, and that's all you need, or maybe it's an equal tliya, that it doesn't disrupt the fact that this isn't the suffix maisa, it's a maisa b'suffix. And if it's a Maisa B'Safek, and Sakin Isroi, Behema Lo Isroi, which is another way of saying that it's a Maisa B'Safek, not a Safek Maisa, Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai, not only in the Mukzakus, Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai here means that there's no reason to assume, typically there's no reason, I'm getting a whole different explanation, even according to the Baal HaMoor in a way. No reason to assume the Muchzakos that when you do a Maisa, that there's a Maisa Shchita, and that it's not Shema Ba'or Nifkama, which would torpedo any Shchita. The Muchzakos is, right, that ain't a ba'or nifkaba. Ain't suffek motzim de vadai. Why should you change that? Given the reality of ain't suffek motzim de vadai, that there are other ways to be tola, or a better way to be tola, or a tremendously better way to be tola, depending on where you draw the line. Says Rav Chisda, this isn't a maisa b'suffek. I'm sorry, this isn't a suffek maisa. This remains kicheskaso as a maisa b'suffek. And therefore, it's not even a tartel reisa because sakin esroi behem alo esroi. And therefore, right, we are mako. So it might end up being that the argument between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, gufa, is really about both extreme chidushim that they present or project. Rav Huna side, ba'or nifkama, which is a little surprising. Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai in the unconventional application of Rav Chisda. But really what both are arguing about is what it takes to neutralize a Maisa Shchita and turn it not just into a Maisa Shchita B'Safek, but into a Safek Maisa Shchita. Okay, so that's the idea. I may want to elaborate just a little more on some of these points next time. But especially I want to go through, because not certainly all the Rishonim hold this way, I want to go through the Chachmei Sfara, the debate between the Ra'ah and the Rajba, the Ramban, the Ran, in terms of some of the Pratim, and especially how, in light of this, how do we, in light of this, view the compromise, which is that if they're Shovar Atzamos Kol Hayom, that then we'll paskin like Rav Chisda and not like Rav Huna. Is that just, again, about this point? What puts it over the top, whether we consider this a Maisa B'Safek or a Safek Maisa, legally and formally and conceptually, or is that more like, increasing the probabilities and weighing multiple chazakos, etc. People are still going to be around next week. We could do Tuesday, right? For sure? Yeah?
Okay. You can't do Thursday also?
What's that?
What's and Tuesday's going to be the last day?
I'm not sure. Aren't you busy Thursday?
Not in the morning.
You serious?
I don't know. I mean, unless I'm pretty serious. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Well, we could if we did it earlier.
Okay, great. So we'll try for Tuesday, Thursday next week. Okay, great. I was trying to, you know, factor you in. But, you know, in terms of other...
This is a different way of factoring me in.
Terrific. I'm happy to.
Okay.
Okay. So Tuesday, Thursday next week, we'll try to finish up. And again, what we don't do, put on my list. All right? Josh, you're keeping the list. All right? Right? You're one of the people keeping the list.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we'll integrate it over the summer, Hiram.
We'll see what we can do. Right. We don't want to disrupt your Avelis, though. Your Hilchos Avelis.
That's almost over.
Oh, really?
Also, yeah. Wow. The bands are not.